This message comes from NPR sponsor, Mattress Firm. Sleep hot. Mattress Firm's sleep experts can match you with a cooling mattress from the Tempur-Breeze collection from Tempur-Pedic, so you can experience measurably cooler sleep all night. Get matched at Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. Sleep at night.
Hello, hello. I'm Brittany Luce, and you're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR, a show about what's going on in culture and why it doesn't happen by accident. Maybe it's the end of the year or the fact that the sun has been setting earlier and earlier, but I've been reflecting on that phrase a lot lately. Why culture doesn't happen by accident. I say it every episode of this show, and the more I say it, the more I see it out in our world. I see it in the movies we watch, the stories we read, and the music we listen to. Where we come from has so much impact on what we say and do. And that simple idea is the core concept of an album you may have missed this year, Oh Me, Oh My, by Lonnie Holly. It's an album about intergenerational healing, addressing wounds that have persisted from enslavement to the Jim Crow American South all the way to today. It's about gratitude for the love and even the pain we experience. And I think it's one of the best albums of the year. I wanted to play. I wanted to play. I wanted to play. I wanted to play. Lonnie Holly is a musician and a visual artist. His huge sculptures are melded from found objects, and he's shown his visual work in galleries and museums around the world. He turned 73 this year, and somehow, among all that, he found the time to make this album.
We are always returning. The essence. The essence. The roots. We are the wonder.
It's like nothing I've listened to before. And in it, he shares memories of growing up in Jim Crow, Alabama.
I am grateful for as much as I can remember. A lot of that memory was eliminated through the different types of beating, being knocked out by grown people. One would say, getting the hell beat out of you. I don't know what was the result of at 4 years old when the man, the old man, poked a poker iron into my brain. It was a time for me that was much, much worse than anyone could ever imagine.
When Lonnie was 4 years old, a nurse stole him from his mother and traded him for a bottle of whiskey. While estranged from his family, later, he was hit by a car.
I was considered brain dead at 7 years old when I got hit by the car and drug up underneath that car for 2.5 blocks.
He was then sent to a juvenile detention center informally called Mount Meigs. Journalists have since reported how it basically ran as a plantation. Children were subjected to beatings and sexually abused, and they were also forced to do farm labor from sunup till sundown.
I have to look at things as zillions, because the seeds of all the seeds that we planted while we were there was in the zillions. See, they didn't give us a credit for what we done. They didn't say that we were the caretakers of zillions of seeds, because if somebody had heard it like that, they would have calculated and say, wow, y'all had them damn children plant zillions of seeds and you ain't give them not now, acre for themselves. At first, I thought that it was pure hatred that had been wrapped around me like an old quilt that's tearing to pieces because the threads are breaking.
Finally, at 14 years old, Lonnie's grandmother was able to get him out of the facility and reunite Lonnie with his family, but not until after deep physical and mental trauma.
I feel grateful that I can process thought. And each and every second that I possibly can, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep on working it. I'm giving it exercise. It's like my brain say to me in the morning, you can get up. Why are you laying now? Get up. Do something. You didn't learn to read and write, but you're learning to read and write. So do that.
You know, there are some people who have had painful or difficult experiences who might be afraid of or resistant to cultivating gratitude for those experiences. What would you say to those of us who might be afraid or resistant to that?
I would like for them first to think of someone like Gandhi, right? You could see a man in India with all those other humans around him, right? And he's sitting at a pile of sand. Instead of him cussing and fussing about every damn thing that has happened to him, he would prefer to take one grain of sand and move it from one hill of sand to the other. That kept him content. Sometimes the movement of material or studying those pieces of material as you move, it relieves you from concentrating on those materials just sitting around you. The earth is here for us, but how we use this mothership is left up to us.
For the past 60 years, that's exactly what Lonnie Holly has done. He's taken the pieces from one pile and built another. His family used to go to the city landfill and collect dozens of gallons of trash and sell it to feed their family. Lonnie himself started collecting discarded objects and melding them together to form sculptures and paintings. Now he's taking his memories from his childhood and turning them into songs.
Throughout our years of working, throughout all our years, we all been struggling.
Today, let's journey through Lonnie's album, Oh Me, Oh My. Through his story in it, we're stretching across hundreds of years, thousands of miles, and into the healing arms of our loved ones. From the motherland to Alabama and down the Nile, sailing toward a better understanding of how to heal as we head into a new year.
But humans, I want to tell you all, we all don't have but a little while, but a little while to get somewhere.
We'll be right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing, backpacking, and another outdoor thing that rhymes with backpacking. Visit your local REI co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways you can opt outside.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Homes.com. You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, local amenities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your album and the title track pivot around this phrase that you heard your mother saying when you were a little boy. Oh me, oh my. Oh me, oh my.
And my grandmother.
And your grandmother. What did oh me, oh my mean to your mother and your grandmother?
A lot of times, oh me, oh my brought them joy. And a lot of times when they said oh me, oh my, it was something hellified coming along. Oh me, oh my, what the hell come next? I done been through this over and over again. Oh me, oh my, what do I have to put up with now?
It's interesting. You just shared, you shared with me how you said something very hellified could be coming down the way if you heard your mother or grandmother say, oh me, oh my, but also wonderment. It reminds me of something that you sing. Now I understand why she says, oh me and oh my, in a graceful manner and a thankful way. That sounds like how you just said it.
That's the way it's supposed to be said. When we see that we just got a plate full of food, we didn't even have a way of even thinking that that was going to be made possible. But we get it. For some kind of way, the spirit touch somebody's heart and make them think about you. And they bring you a box full of food. That's grace. Oh, me, oh, my, we're going to make it.
And now I understand why she said these words. Oh, me. And oh, my. In a graceful manner, in a thankful way. Every day that we have.
It makes me think of another song that you have on the album, If We Get Lost, They Will Find Us. And you duet with the Malian vocalist Rokia Kone. And in Malian, she sings about lineage, what our familial pasts bring to our present, and how, you know, despite whatever conditions a person is given, you've got to work hard to make your life better. And you sing in English beside her saying, if we get lost, they will find us and we will find ourselves.
Allah, if we get lost, Allah, get lost, Allah, do get lost, Allah, they'll find us. Allah.
I like the interplay in it between the English and the Malian, and it just feels like we're reaching across generations, across the diaspora, to heal where we come from so we can all move toward a whole version of ourselves. It makes me think about Sankofa, you know, like in order to know where you're going.
Yeah, African and African American.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're tying the knot of reality. You still my child. You still my child. It ain't that long since my grandmama great-grandparents were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
It ain't that long since my mama great-grandparents were slaves down in Dayville, Alabama, Camp Hill, Alabama, all around there on them plantations that they had down there.
It makes me think about the idea of intergenerational trauma. How the trauma that you experience or that your grandparents or great-grandparents experience gets passed down to you. And it also makes me think, though, like, if the bad experiences, the intergenerational trauma can be passed down, what about intergenerational healing? Like, if you heal yourself, can you pass that down? And does that continue to multiply? You do believe that because I see you nodding your head, yes. Is that what you're trying to do with this album and your art, trying to heal down the line?
I base my life on what the physicians say. Physicians heal thyself. Heal thyself. Heal thyself. comfort thyself, chill thyself, be still, and listen. Give yourself time to heal. Don't always jump up too quick and fly off at the handle. People need to feel better now. It's too many storms and hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, too many wars on this planet for us to always say, we don't give a damn about humanity. We can always say, like Nina Simone say, goddamn Mississippi, or goddamn Alabama, or goddamn the condition that we was treated under at the period that we was treated under.
But how do you pass that down? Like, how do you pass down your healing to the next generation?
What are we doing now? What both of us have on? We have headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
The best way any of us gonna get anything accomplished now is to listen. Find what to listen to.
You know, in this album, you return to your mother and your grandmother over and over again. And the things that you shared with me about what happened at Mount Meigs, the abuses, all of the hurt, all of the pain, all of the hate that you described, it makes me think of something that you said about your mother and your grandmother in this one song called I Can't Hush. You sing, I remember looking at my mother and my grandmother and I wondered, why did they keep it all locked within their brains? All the stressful moments, all the abuses and abuses and abuses and the abuses, and they said nothing. They just let them sink deep within. You conclude that as you've gotten older, you now know why.
Yes, I do. They knew that the master would have taken them away from their children.
Mm.
They knew that they would have gotten beat worse than ever before if they had said anything, if they had openly protested.
But you have decided not to keep it all locked in. You're singing about it. You're telling their stories. You're telling your story. Why have you decided not to keep it all locked in? Why have you decided to let it out?
Is I'm doing anything that hadn't been done before? Hadn't all the prophets all let it all out? Hadn't all the disciples was letting it all out? Wasn't who we call Jesus letting it all out?
We never had a chance to start it over. Once our life began, we had to live them on out. We had to live them on out, with or without friends.
I don't know if you ever heard a song say, go and tell it over the mountain. What are we to go tell? If you don't have nothing to tell, what you gonna go over the mountain to do? Dr. King said, you will get to the mountaintop. You'll get there. But what are you going to do after you get there? To the valley of need.
I need the black ropes of hope. I need the togetherness. Where we put our black hands together and act like a rope. No matter what conditions we have to face, we face them together. I know that there are some that is blind and cannot see, and there are some that cannot hear, but we still can feel, and we have emotions.
You talk about specifically about how passing down healing requires us to speak our stories, you know, so that the younger generation can learn from them, but also for us to listen to the past. It sounds like you're still thinking about the words that your elders shared with you when you were young. It just makes me think about what you said. no one gets to heaven by themselves. And it sounds like, based on our conversation, based on your music, that you have been very clear that you have not gotten to where you are by yourself.
I just want to get to Africa, and I want to visit the Yoruba tribe that my grandmother and all of them, the lineage of that blood, I want to see where that comes from. I want to go on down to now. I don't know whether all this can happen in my lifetime, but if it happened in my spiritual time of being part of the universe, then I want to be able to do that. Can't you find your
kindness? Well, Lonnie, thank you so. Oh, you giving me the thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. This was such a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
That was Lonnie Holly. His 2023 album, one of the best of the year in my book, is called Oh Me, Oh My. And as we close out this year, I just want to take a moment to reflect on where we started. That culture doesn't happen by accident. The tagline of this show. Every song we listen to, every song that we love, is written from the notes and instruments that were passed down to us. It's one way for us to hear where we come from and listen to the love and pain of the past. I know as we head into a new year, I, for one, am committed to listening. And hopefully, that brings us all a little healing.
Greatness would come in the morning, and kindness will follow you tears and dry them up.
I'll be right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu with Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Directed by Prentice Penny, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how Black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, premieres May 9th, streaming on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox. Discover powerful new series like Three Little Birds and BAFTA-winning drama Time, starring Bella Ramsey, Tamara Lawrence, and Jodie Whittaker. Stream the best of British TV, only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car, you should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. Don't settle, find love at first drive. Start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
Hello, I'm Johnny O. Henson Jr. Join me each week on In Black America as we profile current and historically significant figures whose stories help illuminate life in Black America. You don't want to miss the conversation. KUT Radio and In Black America are members of the NPR network. Thanks for listening to In Black America.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. This is Annalisa from New York. My feeling about New Year's resolutions, at least in the past, is that they have just kind of like set me up for failure. And I overload a lot. And then I feel like a total schlub by like, I don't know, like January 5th or 10th, or just like immediately feel like I can't possibly accomplish all of these things. And one of the ways that I've divested myself from the habit of New Year's resolutions is I just decided that any day can be the start of a new year. So I don't know if you have any thoughts or feelings about whether it's important that these resolutions be tied specifically to January 1st.
Well, Annalisa, thank you so, so much for calling in with this question. On one hand, I totally see what you're saying. Like, New Year's resolutions present a lot of pressure and a lot of marketing. It's like everywhere you look, it's like, do you want to be a better friend? Do you want to be like a crafty person? Do you want to learn how to bench press 250 pounds? It's just like pressure coming at everybody from all angles. I more so lean toward New Year's intentions. They're less about having like a prescriptive list of things I must do and more like improved attitudes. I would like to have some sort of like theme or vibe for the year. Like sometimes I'll choose just certain words that I want to think about, like protection, integrity. I know that sounds very woo-woo and very vague, but honestly, it's helped me to every single year take stock of the year that was and look forward to the year that I'm going into without completely losing my mind or beating up on myself. And I will say, sometimes like resolution type ideas do come into my yearly intentions. Like this year, one of the things that I really want to do is be conversational, confidently conversational in Spanish by the end of the year. My husband is bilingual. He speaks Spanish and English. And I want to be able to communicate with him in a new way. And also, should we have a child in the future, I don't want them talking about me behind my back in another language. And so I've been going to a Spanish tutor for the past few weeks. I like what you kind of have proposed, Annalisa. But I think that's a beautiful approach that you can start over anew anytime you want. But for those of you who do enjoy January 1st, I support you. I salute you. I also think that there is something kind of beautiful about the fact that we as human beings, however imperfectly, continue to try to be better for ourselves and for each other. So, Annalisa, I hope you have a fabulous end of year and a beautiful new year whenever you decide to start it. And to the rest of you, have a great weekend. If you have a thought or question about pop culture, send us a voice memo at ibam@npr.org. That's ibam@npr.org. This episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by
Barton Girdwood,
Alexis Williams,
Liam McBain,
Corey Antonio Rose.
This episode was edited by
Jessica Plachek,
Bilal Qureshi.
Engineering support came from
Kwesi Lee.
Our executive producer is
Verilyn Williams.
Our VP of programming is
Yolanda Sanguini.
All right, that's all for this episode of It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. Talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. When you're carrying around a lot of stress, therapy is a safe space to get it off your chest. If you're considering therapy, give BetterHelp a try at betterhelp.com/NPR to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Get the service you deserve. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Jasmine Morris here from the StoryCorps podcast. Our latest season is called My Way. Stories of people who found a rhythm all their own and marched to it throughout their lives. Consequences and other people's opinions be damned. You won't believe the courage and audacity in these stories. Hear them on the StoryCorps podcast from NPR.